So Chris has been in the book of Joshua for the last several weeks, correct? And he's been doing a great job. I mean, I get to listen to him at 8:30 service. That's why I don't come at Saturday nights that much anymore. I'm pretty busy with the 8:30 service. Plus, as much as I love to hear Chris, I don't want to hear him twice in the same weekend. So he's been doing a great job of taking us through the book of Joshua. And he's been going week by week, story by story, but with what's been going on the last couple of weeks in the book of Joshua, I want to sort of step back again, and I want to share with you some big things that are going on throughout the entire book of Joshua. And in some ways, they bug me a good bit. But when I first came here about 9 years ago, and I took a job as the middle school director. One of the first things I did was I took the 7th and 8th graders, they were 7th and 8th graders at the time, now they do 6th through 8th grade, but at the time it was 7th and 8th graders, and I took the 7th and 8th graders through the book of Joshua as well. And first week in my studies, I got really bothered by Joshua, this character we see in the Bible. And now Joshua is a beloved character throughout the Bible. We all love Joshua because things like the Battle of Jericho and leading Israel to conquer the Promised Land. And that's when we think about Joshua, that's what we think about. We think about this great conqueror. In fact, that's what Brother Chris has called the series, right? Courageous Living. And I can't tell you how many times he have said the word victory over the last several weeks, right? But as I got into the first few verses of Joshua, something about it just really bothered me, and I'm going to read these verses to you. It's first Joshua chapter 1, 6 through 9. It says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law of the servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left. You will be successful in wherever you go. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, and so to be careful to do everything written in it, and then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go." Now, so that's simple enough, right? A lot of us love this verse, and probably a lot of us have this verse, you know, tape to your refrigerator or your dashboard of your car. I like to do that from time to time, put some verses on the dashboard of my car. Some of you actually might have it painted in your house, like in a nice picture frame or on the wall or some sort. Some of this, it may be your life verse. But I want to tell you something. This bugs me that 4 times in 3 verses, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. And in fact, not only does he tell him that 4 times, he adds, "Don't be terrified." Now, what is it with Joshua? What's his problem? I mean, Joshua was there when God led Israel out of Egypt and then led them through the Red Sea. He was there. He was there when God gave Moses the law. In fact, Joshua was the only one on the mountain with Moses. Just take that into your minds for a little bit. And he was there when God took care of Israel for the 40 years in the wilderness. Now, we know that Joshua was about to enter into a lot of wars, and maybe that's what God was talking about. But Joshua had already been in war with Israel. In fact, he was the one that led them into war. So he wasn't afraid of war, I don't think. So why did Joshua have to be reminded not to be afraid? Why did Joshua have to be reminded to be strong and courageous? I mean, what is it with him? Maybe it's not Joshua at all. Or maybe it's not just Joshua that Yahweh is talking about here. Maybe it's the nature of fear and the effect on the human heart. When fear presides in the heart, when it resides and takes place in the heart, it rarely leaves room for much else. Let me say that again. When fear lives in our heart, it rarely leaves room for much else. especially things like faith. I think that's what God was probably talking about with Joshua. Because Joshua, just like you and me, was human. And we often let fear motivate us. In fact, there's a saying called fear is the great motivator, right? I'm quite amazed how it motivates me. It motivates me in how I use my money. It motivates me with my kids. It motivates me in my job sometimes. It motivates me in my relationships. Even my relationship with God. Fear, when it presides in the human heart, leaves room for much else. When I was in college, I let fear get the best of me. Now, for those of you that you don't know, I am a Georgia Bulldog by matriculation, and so you know how valuable my time is because I'm here and the Georgia Bulldogs are playing currently, a bitter rival, South Carolina Gamecocks. But anyway.
They were ahead,
but that's never safe in that game. Anyway, I went to the University of Georgia, and I'll be honest with you, it took me 7 years to graduate. Not because I'm a doctor. Not because I got a graduate degree from there. I do have a graduate degree. I have a Master's of Divinity. That only took me 3.5 years. But from the University of Georgia to get my undergrad, it took me 7 years. Now, in my defense, I did work a great deal. I worked my way through college for the most part, so I wouldn't have any debt. My parents were gracious as well. But there was a couple of times that I was kicked out of the University of Georgia for academic reasons. And it wasn't like I was going out and, you know, wasting my time or partying or anything. I never did any of that. I was actually helping people. I would skip class to go to a soup kitchen. I would do those things. And those things seem faithful, right? Those things seem good, and they are, but that's not why I was at the University of Georgia. I wasn't being faithful to what I was called to do out of fear, because I was afraid, to be honest with you, I was going to fail. I was going to go to class and realize that I didn't belong there, that it would be too great for me to get a degree from the University of Georgia. Now, back then, the University of Georgia was not nearly as difficult as it is today. In fact, when I went, they called it the Georgia Diploma Barn. You drive by, if your windows were down, you got a diploma. It's not so today. It's like top 15 in the country in public universities. But I'm not here to tout Georgia. But I was fearful. I would substitute good things, things that make me look like I was being faithful and obedient, for the things that I should be doing, because I was afraid. And it took me 7 years to finally graduate. And a lot of things happen during that time. And then even now, there's moments, there's actually days, maybe even weeks for me, where that same fear that I experienced at the University of Georgia begins to take residence in my heart again. And it causes me to hide. It causes me to pull back. It causes me not to do the things that I need to do because I'm afraid I might fail. But however, here, I let fear motivate me, just like it motivates a lot of us. But however, here, God is trying to get into Joshua's head. Look, do not let fear motivate you. Remember, I am with you wherever you go. In fact, the commandment to do not be afraid is the most commanded command in the Bible. It is commanded over 60 times. Does that tell you something about the nature of fear? The greatest commandment's only commanded once, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's what Jesus said the greatest commandment is. But do not be afraid was commanded over 60 times in the Bible. Do you think Yahweh's trying to get something across to us? This is an important thing for the rest of the book of Joshua. Now, like I said earlier, Brother Chris has called this courageous living. And as the rest of the book plays out, we will see what it truly means to live courageously, what it means to be strong and courageous. And it has very little to do with victory. And I know that Yahweh had mentioned success and prosperity in those little verses, but I think it has very little to do with that in particular, and more to do with something else. So in the next section of the book of Joshua, after we get past this introduction and we begin to take the land, the promised land, by the way, the promised land, remember that, we begin to see this pattern develop in the life of Israel. We see obedience, then success, then disobedience, then failure, then repentance, and then we come back to obedience, and the pattern seems to repeat a couple of times in this book. Each time Israel did what Yahweh told them to do, they had success. And that's the point where I think Israel missed it. You see, the point of obedience is not success. The point of obedience is not success. The point of obedience is faith. The moment obedience becomes about being successful, that's the moment where we miss it. Once we make that mistake, and once Israel made that mistake, they had something that they needed to secure. They feared the possibility of loss. Maybe even worse, they feared that maybe they wouldn't succeed the next time. See, this is why fear is so dangerous. It tricks us into thinking that we're doing good and right things to keep things secure, safe, to ensure our success, to ensure our victory. It tricks us. But Israel should have remembered, just like you and I have a chance to remember and read. Let's go back to the early beginnings in Genesis, when the nation of Israel was just about to be formed and their father, Abraham, was given a son, Isaac, the son of what? Promise. And what was he asked to do with it? Sacrifice it. Yahweh wanted Abraham to lay his promise on the altar. I don't think that was about success. I think that was about Abraham's ability to be obedient in any situation. Could Abraham grow in his obedience? See, I don't think obedience is about success. I don't think it ever was. Obedience is about faithfulness. Obedience is never measured in success. It's always measured in faithfulness. So, as Bo mentioned earlier, the commitment cards, you have a chance here with those commitment cards to live courageously. Now, I'm not saying you need to sign over your 401k. I'm not even saying you need to give your whole entire paycheck. But what I am saying is that sometimes faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And to further my point about obedience not being about success, why did Israel have to repent? Because they lost in war? Because they lost in battle? Because they seemed to have failed? No, because they were disobedient. So 9 years ago, just about, I moved to Memphis. A few months prior to that, I was offered the job here. I was offered the job here in late September of 2008. And the day I was offered the job was the day I put my wife on a plane to Europe for 2 weeks. And I was told that I was given a week to answer or give my response. And I told them that I couldn't do that, for my smart half wasn't with me. My prayerful half wasn't with me. My discerning half wasn't with me. So they were gracious enough to give me a couple of weeks. And so while my wife and I were trying to discern whether this is where we should go, whether this is where God had something for us, and I believe he did all along. I put my wife on a plane. She sat next to a man from Memphis. This was in Lexington, Kentucky. And he tried to talk her out of moving to Memphis, of course. Sorry. That same time that she was on a plane from the man to Memphis, me and my young children, they just turned one and they were not quite five yet, my daughter and my son. We were driving to Sam's Club because they had samples of food there. And when I get stressed, I eat. And on the way there was this billboard that I've only seen once in my life. And I drove this road a lot because I was stressed out a lot. I drove this road a lot because I love going to Sam's because they have samples there. And there was a sign. And if I'm lying right now, I'm dying. There was a sign, billboard, big neon letters. On it was Elvis. And behind Elvis, it said Memphis. And just below it, tagline, it says, come to Memphis. Now, I'm not saying that God put that sign there, but I am saying it piqued my interest. It caused me to pray a little bit more, to try to discern a little bit more. And over the process of that time, you see, I was out of the ministry for 3 years when I got this job offer. I was a stay-at-home dad. I worked at Starbucks. Now, I was out of official ministry. I was sort of the pastor of the Starbucks that I worked. I had people put me on their resume as like their life coach and stuff. But as my wife and I prayed and tried to discern what God was calling us to, where, and maybe even not that, maybe where we could just be obedient, more challenged. My wife and I sort of came to this idea, if you will, sort of at the same time, separately, but at the same time in our prayer times. It was this. We felt that God had done a lot in our lives, and God had taught us. I mean, I just graduated from seminary. I had in 2002, which was six years prior, became a dad of two beautiful children. I laid down my life for them. And I came to the point where I realized God had done a lot in my life, but I couldn't understand it because I was too comfortable. And so we made the move. Because I'll be honest with you, I had it good in Kentucky. My wife worked. I was a stay-at-home dad. I worked at Starbucks. I got free coffee. I played golf 3 times a week. My handicap was a 2. Now it's like a 20. But that's okay. I'm not bitter at all. I'm blessed. I'm thankful that I was able to take that step. And there's a long other story that goes along with that. And it turned out successful, yes, right? I mean, I've been blessed for the last 9 years to be at this place and grow in a lot of ways. And I've gathered a lot of lessons, and I've made a lot of friends, and I've experienced a lot of community, and I've seen God do mighty things. And I could take all of that with me when I go to the next place. And it was successful to be here. But that wasn't the point. God never is worried about my success. He's always worried about my faithfulness. God doesn't call us to be great. He calls us to be faithful. Now that might bring about success. But not success as the world might see it. And so you may be asking yourself, Dallas, how can I grow in courageous faith? I would say, in order to grow in courageous faith, you need to grow in love. You need to grow in love with Yahweh. You need to live life like Jesus loves you. What does 1 John 4 say? 1 John 4, 7 through 18. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God has showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And now we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, he lives in him and God in him. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. That's the second time John said it. God is love. Whoever lives and loves lives in God and God in him. And in this way, love made complete among us so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love. In fact, perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears has not been made perfect in love. I wonder what it would look like if I truly let the perfect love of God drive out my fear. I wonder what it would look like if love was my great motivator. Let it motivate me in the use of my money. Let it motivate me with my kids. Let it motivate me in my job. Let it motivate me in my relationships. I would have no reason to fear. Because like fear, love leaves room for little else. And if God is love and God is all-consuming, you can better believe it leaves room for little else. But the beautiful thing about, the beautiful difference between fear and love is that love opens us up. Fear closes us off. Don't be closed off. Don't be closed off. Let the love of God open you to a life that is courageous and victorious, not because you succeed, but because you're obedient. Because what did Jesus tell his disciples? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Obedience proves our love for him. It proves that we've been perfected in love. And if we're going to be those kind of people, let's live our life as if Jesus loves us to the glory of the Father, in the name of the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.